Welcome to the Legacy Series of Growing Empires, a curated collection of standout episodes that have shaped the foundation of what we're building next. We're evolving. A new show is on the horizon, and it's designed for the sophisticated investors, capital allocators, and those looking to go deeper into strategies, structures, and market shifts behind today's most successful real estate syndications. While we prepare for a launch, we've handpicked some of our most powerful conversations to revisit. Whether you're discovering them for the first time or listening again with a fresh perspective, these episodes lay the groundwork for the future. And if you haven't already, join the Empire Investment Club at jenniferdejesus.com to get early access to future offerings, investor briefings, and behind-the-scenes insights from the new show. Let's dive in. Welcome to episode 4 of season 18 of the Growing Empire Show. I am back for part 2 with my special guest, Nate Hare, and we are going to jump right in and continue our conversation regarding tax strategies, using your real estate investments, utilizing IRAs and 401ks to fuel your retirement plans and build wealth. So make sure you stay tuned.
Welcome to Growing Empires, hosted by real estate entrepreneur and trusted investment advisor, Jennifer DeJesus. Growing Empires provides insight to building wealth through passive income-producing real estate investments for those who want to build and manage a more profitable real estate portfolio.
Okay, so I want to just kind of ask a couple of questions about something that you previously said. So we were mentioning before people having multiple IRAs. Is generally the reason why people have multiple ones is because they're doing different types of They're you're using the IRAs to have different types of assets. So maybe one's invested in real estate, the other one's invested in stocks, the next one's in, you know, whatever else they're going to do. Is that typically why there's a difference of, like, is there a true benefit to having a million of them? Or is it just the vehicle that you're investing in that dictates how many you have to have?
It's a little of both. So, okay. You know, at a bare minimum, if you want to be able to invest in all types of assets, you need at least two. Right. You need at least one with a brokerage account, brokerage option that you can buy and sell stocks and mutual funds. Right. That's your Fidelity job. You need one of those. But then if you want to invest in alternative investments, real estate, cryptocurrency, land, all those other things, small businesses, you need an account with a company that will hold those types of investments like directed IRA. Now, if you dig even a little deeper, I have some clients that have multiple self-directed IRAs. Now, why would somebody want multiple IRAs? Well, if you think about it, when you invest outside of an IRA, a lot of people use multiple LLCs for a little bit of asset protection. Well, your IRAs already have kind of asset protection. I would say, since you don't own anything, you're not worried about personal liability for your IRAs investments. But if you want to separate some of your IRA investments, you can just separate it through different IRAs. So for example, I had a client that had three rental properties that were all in Houston, right? He owned them all in one IRA, but he was going to invest in a property out in Fort Worth. Now, it was a little bit unknown territory to him. He didn't invest much in Fort Worth. He thought it was a good deal, but it was a little hairy. Without getting into details, there were some things with this property that were not maybe in line with some of his other properties that were more well established. So he said, I don't want anything that happens bad with this property to affect my other three good properties. So I'm going to open a separate IRA for this one property in Fort Worth. And if I decide that I want to mingle, put it in my other IRA, I can do that at that time. But I have some clients that they don't even like to share one IRA with two properties. They'll open a different IRA for different assets. So, you know, that's personal preference, I would say, but going back to it, most people have multiple IRAs just so that they can expand their investment or horizon into different asset classes.
Okay. So does the IRA actually provide another layer of asset protection, like over and above what an LLC would?
Well, it's a little bit different, right? So your IRA, by definition, it's a tax-exempt trust. That is the entity that it's defined as. So it's not going to give you the same level of protection that an LLC does when it comes to isolating problems. But when most people think I'm trying to protect myself from liability, who they're trying to protect is themselves personally.
Right.
So in most cases, an asset owned by my Roth IRA isn't going to affect me personally because I don't own it. I don't own anything in my Roth IRA until I take a distribution of those assets to myself. Until that point, it's owned by my Roth. If they're slip and fall, they got to sue my Roth, not sue me. Right now, that's the vast majority of cases. I will say, if you know, there's nothing preventing you from adding both layers of protection. And we have a lot of clients do this, where instead of having, let's say, their Roth IRA own the rental property directly, they might set up an LLC that the IRA owns. Now, this is what's called the IRA-owned LLC. You can have one IRA own an LLC. You can have multiple IRAs own an LLC. You could even be the manager of that LLC if you set it up with us. Our attorneys will set it up. It's called a checkbook IRA-owned LLC. So basically what happens is the IRAs are going to own an LLC. The LLC is going to own the rental properties, right? So there's a little bit extra house of protection. Obviously, there's some added fees for setting up the LLC, but it gives you a little bit more asset protection if you're looking for it. It does give you a little bit more ease of use because you've got an LLC bank account that you can use in that case. So yeah, I mean, there's different layers of protection, but in most cases, if you back up that question, I'm not personally liable for something that happens in my IRA, most cases.
Okay. And I want to just make sure I caught this. And you said until you take a distribution. So once you take a distribution, that now changes. Is that correct?
Right.
Did I understand that correctly?
Right. Because then it's mine as an individual. And most people are taking distributions of just cash, but you could take distributions of assets. And here's a perfect example of why someone might take a distribution of an asset, like a property. I have some clients that already kind of know they want to retire outside of the United States. They want to retire in Mexico. They've identified the beach that they want to retire on. And what they actually do, which is pretty funny, they will take a Roth IRA and they'll buy like a condo on the beach, right? Now, when it's owned by your IRA, one of the things that you're not allowed to do is, you as the IRA owner, you're not allowed to use your retirement assets for personal use. So if my IRA owns a condo on the beach, I can't stay in that property while it's owned by my IRA. But if I get to retirement and I say, okay, now I'm ready to retire, I want to move into that condo on the beach, I can take a distribution of the condo to myself and remove it from my IRA. I don't sell it to myself. I just take a distribution of it to myself. Now it's my asset. Now I got to worry about protection to me because now I own it personally. But until that point, once it's owned by my IRA, there's really no personal liability that I have to worry about in most cases.
Okay. And just, again, I want to just make sure I'm clear. So taking the distribution does not change the IRA that's, you know, owned by the IRA. It's when you move the asset to your personal, when you distribute the asset to yourself personally, that in that case, then you start assuming that liability or that risk, correct?
Right, exactly. Because before that point, it's owned by my IRA. And remember, my IRA is a separate entity from me. Nothing's really mine until I take it out of the IRA as a distribution to myself.
Okay, understood. All right. And the other thing that you had mentioned that I just want to touch on just for one more second is, you mentioned that you're, and I cannot remember if you said it was the IRA or the 401k or maybe a combination of both, you said that you can take a loan against it, right? You're talking about a loan against the money that's in the IRA in the 401k?
So that would be specific to a 401k benefit.
Okay.
Yeah. So
not an
401k IRA. Is just like that. Yeah, not an IRA. You cannot take a loan from your IRA, but 401ks have the provision to take participant loans. And it's the same as with your employer gives you the same option with the 401k, where you can take up to $50,000 or 50% of the value as a loan to yourself. Now, with a solo 401k, you have that same provision. But just to clarify, because a lot of people get confused on this, you do not have to take the loan to buy real estate in the 401k. The 401k can buy real estate. The loan is something that comes to you personally. And I would probably say you only do that for emergencies. Now, here's what oftentimes, but it is a good thing to have. For instance, I do have a lot of clients that have, you know, a sizable amount in their solo 401ks. They've got assets that they buy in their 401k, but they also invest in real estate outside of the 401k. I've had this happen probably more than a dozen times, where a client is they're between a rock and a hard place. Maybe they're working outside of their IRA. They've got a property that they're going to flip. Their hard money lenders is lagging, and they're going to miss the closing date, right? They don't want to lose the property. So they need like 50 grand or whatever just to close on the property. And as soon as they get the financing, they can pay it back. So they take a loan from their 401k to help them close on a property personally. And as soon as they get the financing in line, they put the 50 grand back into the IRA or back into the 401k. But that is a loan you take personally and you use it for personal emergencies.
Okay. Why don't you give me the rundown of all the different types of things that you can buy with your IRA?
Yeah, I mean, it really goes on. I mean, the only things you cannot buy are life insurance contracts, which are basically contracts where your IRA would get paid when somebody died. They don't want that as an investment, right, in an IRA or 401k. And they don't like collectibles. Collectibles are specifically defined. Antique cars, paintings, rugs, baseball card collections. They don't like those types of assets because it's hard to value a collectible, right? There's not a readily assessed value. So they don't like those types of assets in a retirement plan. Outside of that, it's fair game. Like I said, if you can hold title to it, your IRA can own it. The common investments I would say we see, real estate being one of them. Promissory notes secured by real estate is actually a more popular investment than real estate itself.
Really?
Promissory notes, if you just think about it, yeah, you can make loans out of your IRA to other real estate investors. You can't make loans to yourself, but for instance, let's say Jen had a flip that she was looking to fund, and I had money in my Roth IRA. My Roth IRA could be Jen's lender, right? And my money can be secured by the property just like a bank would. And me and Jen can negotiate terms where she pays my IRA interest. Most people like that investment because it's passive and they don't have to deal with toilets and tenants, but they're still invested in real estate. They're just doing it as the bank and their IRA is the lender. We do have a lot of clients that will invest in syndications. Syndications can be buying apartment buildings or commercial property. That's actually a growing investment. When you think about those investments, a lot of people like that because, again, it's passive. Somebody else is doing all the work, but you're still tied to tangible real estate, and it might even be in your own community. Commercial property, cryptocurrency is growing in popularity. And then it goes off onto weird ones. I have a client that used to buy and sell heads of cattle in his Roth IRA. He was in Texas. Yeah. Buy and sell heads of cattle. I had a client that owned a thoroughbred in his IRA. His IRA owned a horse. So, it's not prohibited. And here's the key I want to say that. I'm not going to buy a horse because I don't know how to make money on horses, okay? But these clients did. They knew how to make money buying and selling heads of cattle, buying a thoroughbred, right? If you're knowledgeable about something, most likely you can apply that knowledge to your retirement account. And that is something that most of us are not taught in school because we're just taught, no, just put money in a 401k and let somebody else invest it for you, right? You're not smart enough to invest your money. I would argue that most people have something that they're good at. And if you have something that you're good at, and you're knowledgeable about, your IRA most likely can invest into that. You just have to find a company that will hold that investment for you.
Wow, that's so incredible.
The episode will continue in just a moment.
As an investor, we know it's important to stay on top of market trends and real estate opportunities that add value to your portfolio. We also know that having a trusted source of reliable information to help you stay a step ahead of other investors is critical to your success. If you're interested in having these types of resources, as well as access to me and my team, I invite you to join the Empire Investment Club, a free service that gives you an easier way to make sense of today's and tomorrow's real estate opportunities. As a member of the Empire Investment Club, you'll get access to relevant resources and investment-focused experiences such as live interactive webinars, market trend presentations, and investor socials designed to equip you with what you need to succeed. So whether you're an active investor, passive investor, a combination of both, or just starting out, the club is where you'll get what you need to build a portfolio you love. To join, just head over to jenniferdejesus.com, sign up, and we'll see you in the club, where everyone's on a journey to becoming a better investor.
So when somebody has, you know, maybe a 401k, maybe an old 401k, or maybe they're interested in just starting an IRA or want to talk more about it, what are some of the initial steps that somebody should take, and what kind of information do they need to gather to start the process? And how long does the process take?
So I always encourage people, especially if they're new, book a call with one of my IRA account executives. We have probably a dozen IRA account executives, but if you go to our website, directedira.com, you cannot miss all the buttons that say book a call. I always think you should book a call with somebody. Tell them exactly what you have as far as retirement plans go. Tell them what you're looking to invest in, and they can kind of give you the roadmap as to how it's going to work. If I broke down the steps, there's really three steps: open the account, fund the account, invest the account. The first two are really simple. Open the account. If you talk to an account executive, they'll send you a link. You do it online. It takes 5 minutes to fill out an application. If you don't want to talk to somebody, just go online, go to our website. You can find all the applications there, fill it out there, and we can have your account open in as little as 24 hours. Once it's opened, you fund the account one of three ways. You can either just make a contribution. You could just link the account to Plaid or link it to your bank account and make a contribution, your annual contribution, if you choose to do it that way. You can transfer money from one of your other IRAs. So if you've got money in a Fidelity IRA, you fill out a transfer form with us, and we send that to Fidelity to request them to transfer money over. You do not have to transfer all your money over. You can do partial transfers. So if you got $500,000 with Fidelity, but you only need to 150 grand to buy a rental property, all you got to do is transfer 150 grand. You just fill out a transfer form to do that. And the last way to fund it is through a rollover. Rollovers are when you're taking money from an old 401k or an old 403b, an old employer plan. That just has to be moved differently. It's done through a rollover. It's rolled out of the 401k and rolled into an IRA. But those would be the three ways to fund it. Once the account's funded, you're going to work with our transactions team, and they're very good at walking you through the process. You're going to work through our transactions team to help you buy the investment in the account that you establish. And really, if I break it down real simply, to instruct them to buy something, you need to provide us two things. One is just our direction of investment form. It's just our internal form that says, hey, Directed IRA, I'm investing in real estate. This is the address. This is how much we have to send to the title company. This is how much we need for an earnest money deposit. It's very, very self-explanatory, and it's specific to the investments. We've got a real estate direction of investment form, a notes, a private entities investment form. So you fill out that form, and then we need a copy of whatever the agreement is for the investment. If it's a piece of real estate, we need the sales contract. If it's a note, we need a copy of the note. If you're investing into an entity like an LLC, we need the operating agreement. So we're always going to need a form and the agreement, and our transaction team is very good at helping you with that and collect that. And once we get those documents in hand, we send the money out, and voila, your IRA now owns an alternative investment.
So how do you identify the suitability of like the different investment vehicles for your IRA? Is that something that, you know, typically people are coming to you to help with their IRA when they're already investing in things and already have some experience? Because like, maybe I want to think about investing in, you said crypto is one of those things. So just say, hypothetically, I want to invest in crypto, but I don't currently do it. How would I kind of identify evaluate like the suitability of what I can and cannot do inside that IRA?
Well, like I said, you can do almost anything inside the IRA. What it really comes down to is you as the account's fiduciary, you as the account owner, have to just do the due diligence on the investment. We will never tell you whether your investment's good or bad because we're not licensed to do that.
Got it.
We're going to take your instruction. When you tell us buy this rental property, we say, cool, here's the forms we need, right? I want a loan to this person doing a flip. Cool, here's the forms we need. So as far as suitability, I mean, like I said, any investment outside of life insurance contracts and collectibles is suitable for an IRA, but the client, this is where the self and self-directed comes from, has to do their own due diligence, or it has to at least be comfortable enough with the investment to send it to us, because we're not going to stop it. Okay. We're just going to take your instruction and tell you how we buy it.
Understood. That's really good clarity too, because, you know, I would have assumed that there was some level of, not assume, but I would have thought that there might have been some level of like, maybe you should do this, or maybe you shouldn't do that. So from the investment perspective, you're the one making the decision. Your company, Directed IRA, is really about which investment vehicle makes the most sense for whatever you're investing in, and how do you have the biggest tax benefits and those sorts of things.
Yeah, we're just going to give you the vehicle, right? But you've got the keys are in your hand, right?
Got it.
We're going to give you the vehicle. The investment's going to be the fuel. So as far as like who's responsible for fueling the vehicle, that's the client, right? But we're going to give you the car to do it with. And we're going to make sure that, you know, that we've got the right account set up for you based on your needs. But we don't give tax, legal, or investment advice. So it's a little different, right? You've got to kind of understand what you want to do, right? And I'm pretty good. Like, I have calls all the time where clients will ask me questions, but they know I'm not giving them advice. Right. I'm just giving them maybe some scenarios or maybe two or three things to think about based on their question. But I can't directly tell them, do this and do that. I wish I could, because I see a lot of investments that I say, well, why don't I would never do that investment, but I'm not licensed to tell them, slow it down. I don't know about this deal here, because again, self-directed. The best thing about a self-directed IRA is you get to pick the investments. The worst thing about a self-directed IRA is you get to pick the investments. So just make sure that you understand the investments that you're picking. We're just going to say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for listening to episode 4. With my special guest, Nate Hare. This is only part 2 of a 4-part segment. So make sure you check in on our next episode where Nate and I continue our conversation. And until next time, take care.
For more information about how Jennifer can help you plan, develop, and manage a strong real estate investment portfolio, visit growingempires.com.